Hi, welcome to another episode of the Game Dev Show. I'm Adam Tuliper, a technical evangelist with Microsoft here in sunny Southern California. You can find me online at Adam Tuliper on Twitter or adamtuliper.com. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about Playmaker, an amazing visual programming sort of tool. And I say sort of because you can surely write code to interact with Playmaker. But most people recognize it as a visual programming tool for Unity. You can lay out finite state machines that essentially define the sequence of flow within your game. It's an amazing tool used by everybody from students all up to AAA game studios. For example, Blizzard is using it in at least one of their successful Unity titles. So this is a pretty serious tool. It's easy to learn. Let's get started showing some really cool stuff.
First, before you use Playmaker, you've got to buy Playmaker. Playmaker is a paid tool you can find in the Unity Asset Store. So if you go to Window Asset Store or press Control 9, and you can do this in the web browser too, you'll want to look for Playmaker. Purchase Playmaker. The price varies because it goes on sale at various points in time. So here it's $65. Once you've purchased it, go to your downloads. In other words, your download manager, this little bin icon here, and just type in Playmaker. And inside here, when you see Playmaker, I have a couple different packages here. So it's Playmaker 1.7 in this particular instance, also 1.8 beta 4.3. So what they're actually doing is including multiple releases in this download. I've already downloaded it, so I'm going to go ahead and click on Import. And if you'll notice, there's just a couple files in this. Now, this is not all of everything that you need. It is to start, but we're going to need to build off this. And notice here we have Playmaker 1.8 Unity package and 1.7 Unity package and the manual.zip. So I'm going to import this. Now that we've imported it, these are the .unity package files that contain the rest of Playmaker. Playmaker needs to also be installed the particular version that you want. So in other words, if I look underneath the Playmaker editor install folder, there's a .unity package here for 1.8 and a Unity package for 1.7.8.4. I'm going to double click on the 1.8 to install that one. And then it's going to say, hey, do you want to import all these files into your project? So let's go ahead and do that once this decompresses. And here we go. Here's all the Playmaker files. Notice tons of C# files listed inside of here, some DLL, some images. So click on import. Wait for this import to finish, and then Playmaker will be set up in our project. Okay, the import is done. We have Playmaker installed in our project. We can see now that we have lots of files inside of here. Playmaker, give us a second to catch up. We have hundreds of different C# files. These various C# files are all of the different Playmaker actions. So these are the files that define what to do when you want to animate something, or when an object gets close, or when you want to wait for 5 seconds. The actions essentially perform all of the magic. Now, this is not a complete list of actions. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. But these are a lot of base actions to get you started. So let's go ahead and create a basic scene here with Playmaker. We'll look at some of the ecosystem, what some of the proper terms are when it comes to Playmaker, and we'll try to make a little real basic AI system. Just if one object's going to move from point A to point B, and if it gets close to another object, that object will start following it. Rudimentary basic AI, but it'll give you an idea of how this works. In fact, maybe we'll throw in a little collision into there, so if something hits another object, then we'll destroy that guy. Now let's go ahead and use Playmaker in this project, and the way that we're going to set this up is we're going to have a cube as the player and the spheres as the bad guys. I know it's really crazy battles here. So game object, 3D object, cube. I'm going to rename this guy to player, and I'm going to tag this object as player 2. If you haven't used tags before in Unity, tags are good instead of a name to look for a player, to look for an object. In other words, you ask Unity to find an object for you, and doing it by tag is a pretty performant way of doing it. The reason you typically don't ask for things by name inside of Unity is if you say gameObject.find and you give it a name, it has to search through all the game objects to find that particular object. If you say give me just the one that has a tag, it's a more optimized, limited search. Also, names can change at runtime. If you instantiate objects dynamically, it could be player parentheses clone. So there's a couple different reasons why we use a tag. So let me go ahead and save this, Control S, and call that scene main one, and save that. And what we're going to do here is on our cube, our player, we're going to add Playmaker to that cube. And the way you do that is you go to Playmaker, Components, Add FSM to Selected Objects. Once we do that, all we get is a script component, a Playmaker FSM. It's just code that was assigned to that particular game object here. And if you want to edit our, essentially our visual states for that, you click on Edit. And here we go. Wait, there's our Playmaker FSM. This is it. In fact, let me make this window a little bit smaller. Click on Play. And drumroll. And you can see that really nothing is going to happen. Because we haven't written any code to do anything. But we can see that this was our default state. In other words, we started up, and the next thing that we hit was Playmaker called State 1. This particular object is running State 1. What is it? It's nothing right now. We haven't done anything in State 1. So let's go ahead and do that. Let's first make our player move from point A to point B. And so what is point A and point B? Point A will be where it's at now. Point B is going to be nothing more than, let's create an empty game object and move this guy over here somewhere. Rename that to destination. This could be a spawn point. This could be a patrol point. And this little icon here in the upper left-hand corner of the inspector, this will assign a visual property to that game object. If I don't have that visual property and I click away from the game object, it's an empty game object. It'll just disappear. So for example, notice I click away, you can't see it anymore. So this little icon is kind of cool. It just gives us a visual way to see that. Now, let's make sure that we are kind of lined up here, because 3D space sometimes tricks us. We might be pretty far off. So our cube, our player, is at -4, 1, 1.6. Our destination is at -24, 2, 2. That's all right. We're good with that. Save my changes. Save often in any software product that you're using. Now, what I want to do is on our player here, click on the player. Notice our Playmaker window here is context sensitive. If I click on something else, it goes away because this object doesn't have Playmaker. If I don't like that behavior, you can click on the lock icon and that will essentially stay on the last object that you had selected here. So I'm gonna unclear lock here. And instead of state one, we're gonna call this guy move. Oopsie, click on this. Move to destination. And we can have spaces in the name. And now we need to define what this state is going to do. So let me bring this window up a little bit more. It's quite common that you work in Playmaker with a bigger window or a different monitor. Shift spacebar in certain windows in Unity will actually maximize those windows. So for example, notice on the game tab, shift spacebar brings that up. With Playmaker, that'll work if you actually have a docked window. Since I'm not docked right now, you won't see it. Some folks like to work with Playmaker undocked. You can even move it to a different screen, different area. And so one of the advantages here when you're working in Playmaker, you might have it pushed up like this, and you might want to actually click on play, but that's why you notice there's a play, pause, and frame advance down here as well. It does the same thing as clicking on the same ones inside of Unity. So now we need to add some actions to our state here. Now move to destination does nothing, because if we click on it, we don't see any actions here. And let's go ahead and add an action. We're going to basically just say move towards. Now action browser is kind of where the magic happens. This is where you get all of the various Playmaker things. Notice we have animate variables, animation, application, array, audio, camera, color convert, like if we look down at physics, add explosion force, get speed, get velocity, set velocity, all sorts of different actions here. And there's more. We'll talk about the ecosystem browser in a little bit on how we can get even more actions. You can write your own actions. It's just code. And you can look at the code for all these actions as well. But what we want to do is move towards. So I'm going to type in move towards. In fact, if you just want to type in move, you can see all the actions here that move. Move object, move towards. iTween, it's a third-party open source library for moving objects from point A to point B. That's some integrated built-in support. And you'll find that with Playmaker, there are tons of packages that have Playmaker actions. You might buy something from Unity Asset Store and it looks really cool. And a lot of them have already Playmaker actions written, so you can load it up inside of here and integrate it without having to write any code manually. So in this case, I want to move towards. Now, if I double click on it, I want you to note this window will not close, but it actually adds it right here. So after I've added it, don't keep double clicking it. You're going to keep adding up different options here. So I'm going to just double click that once, and now it appears over here in my in my states. In other words, my action for my particular state. And you can have multiple actions here. Notice you can collapse them. You can have more than one here. But let's look at just this one so far. What game object are we going to move? We're going to use the owner. In other words, the game object this playmaker FSM is currently assigned to, which happens to be our player. You could specify another game object, but in our case, we want to use the owner. Now, what's the target object? That's our destination. And in there, we could use this little browser here, go to our scene tab, and find destination. That's one way of choosing it. For whatever reason, I like to actually drag and drop, so I can take my destination from here in my hierarchy and drop it over here. Oops, drop it right here. I've got the window so small, it's kind of scrolling a little bit here, so let me make it a little bit bigger. And now notice that you get this this nice little arrow that Playmaker draws for you that says, hey, this particular object has a destination for this action over there. It's kind of a cool visualization. Now, some other options here are these little equal signs. The equal signs rely on a variable being defined. So in our particular case, this game object, we either have to select it or drag and drop one here. But we can actually define a variable inside of Playmaker to hold the actual destination. And we'll look at that when we want to maybe dynamically move something in just a little bit. But the equal sign allows you to go between kind of this manual entry mode or using a variable. So right now we kind of have this manual entry mode. For example, another way to look at that, here's my target position. Do I want to go to target object or target position? If I want to go to, if I want this object to go to 5, comma 5, comma 5, I can just put 5, 5, 5 there. However, if I have that stored in a variable as a vector 3 variable, I can click on the equal sign and choose a variable that I have already predefined. Now, I don't have any predefined, and you notice I can choose new ones here, and that's what happens on the variable tab. Again, we're going to cover that in just a little bit here. But in this particular case, I want this object, the target object, to be my destination. What speed do you want to go over there? So 10 meters per second. The one unit in Unity is a meter. Let's go ahead and just say like 2 meters a second. Now finish distance. When do you consider being close enough to that object that we can do something else? And that's what this finish distance is. So let's just say if we are within 1 meter of this object, we will do something. Do what? Well, we haven't defined that yet. So let's just save what we have right now and see what happens. It should be pretty basic. It'll move in our game tag. I'm gonna switch back to our scene tab here just so we can see what's going on. There we go, moving at 2 meters a second. 1, 2, 3, 4. That's my accurate counting. And there we go. Now we're at destination. In fact, and if you notice, our destination is actually right there. The center of destination is there. We stopped essentially 1 unit away from there. You can kind of see the center going to center right here. So pretty good. But we want to do something else when that's finished. We want to say move to another destination. So let's go ahead and do that. Let's duplicate destination. Let me zoom back a little bit. Duplicate destination. And I'll call this destination 2. And let's go ahead and move this over there. So we've got destination and destination 2. All right, now I want to tell the player that once you hit destination, I want you to wait 5 seconds and then go to destination 2. And so what we can do here is we can add another state. And we can call this move to destination 2. Now, we don't have a way of getting there yet, and you can't just drag and drop over here, because you notice if I try to say that's the next step in this in line, it doesn't actually work like that. So let's kind of save our changes here. What we need to do is we need a transition. We need a way to go from this one to this one. And that happens through something called events. Transitions happen through events. I can't say that enough. It's the most important concept in Playmaker. A transition to go from here to here happens through events. And if we look at this particular action, it says, all right, when we are within 1 meter, what is our finish event? We haven't declared a particular event here that we're going to use. And so we create an event, and that's the events tab here. Now, event is just text. So we can come in here and just say, reached a destination, right? It defines exactly what we are going to do, what we're achieving. I hit enter. We have an event created. Now, nothing's using it. That's why we see this zero right here. So we've created an event that something can use. Now an event is just text. It's how we use it is where it becomes important. So let's go back to our state. Now, when we reach 1 meter from destination, we call our reached destination event here in the dropdown. And it says, hey, your particular state doesn't actually have reached destination on it. You've got to create it. So that's the next step we need to do. So the first one was we created our event here called reached destination. The second step is we basically told our action to use it. The third step is to make sure that our state can actually use that event. And that's simply right-clicking on your state and saying add transition. And you'll see the one that you just created here, reach destination. Again, just right-click, add transition, reach destination. And you can see it. It's here. Now, we still have an exclamation point because we're still not using this particular state. I'm sorry, this particular transition. Anytime you have a transition on the bottom of a state, you must use it. You have to drag an arrow from it and go somewhere. It can't just be kind of floating out there by itself. And you'll see in the lower left-hand corner here, it says one error. If I click on that, it tells you, hey, this transition is missing a target state. That makes sense. This transition isn't going anywhere. Remember, transitions allow us to move between states, so we have to go somewhere. So quick recap. We added our event, we made sure that our state used that event, and then we simply added that event to this state. It's called a transition. I know it's called events over here, and then over here we call add transition. It might seem a little consistent, but it's because they are events, they get raised, and the events allow you to do a transition. So now that we have this transition here, to use it, you just click on it. I'm holding down the mouse right now, and as soon as you start getting off that state, notice we get this arrow. And we can dock it back to ourselves. But I want to go over here, move to destination 2. And actually, I did say that we were going to wait for a few seconds, so maybe I'm going to call this one wait. And now I go to Action Browser, and I look for something called wait. And there's a random wait or a wait. I'm just going to do wait. Double click on wait, X that out. How long do I want to wait? I said 5 seconds. Let's just do 3 seconds. Now, when I'm done waiting, what's going to happen? I'm going to call another event right here, finished event. Now, it shows us the reach destination event we've created. This particular state doesn't use it, so if I choose it, we'll see an error. That's not what we want to. We're going to create another event called done waiting. And now tell our action that after you've done waiting for 3 seconds, we're going to call our event done waiting. Now the last step, of course, was to add that event, in other words, transition, to this state. You just right-click, add transition, done waiting. Well, now we have done waiting. Where are we going to go when we're done waiting? Let's add a new state. And that state is called move to destination 2. Save my changes. Now I can just drag from done waiting to move to destination 2. Now, one thing I could do is I could come in here and copy this particular action. You notice if I click on this little gear, I get copy selected action. I could do that. That's an easy way of doing it. And then I can come over here and paste this particular action. Or I can just use the Action Browser and just type in move to again. Move towards. And fill this in as well, just like we did before. Drag and drop destination 2. And maybe this guy will move a little faster, maybe 10 meters a second. And when I finish within 1 meter, what do I want to do? Nothing right now. When it's done, it's done. We're not going to go anywhere else past this. Now, for those that have done any sort of Unity game development, know this is a frame-based system. In other words, the system processes one frame at a time. So how does that overlap with your actual states here? And this is takes a little bit to understand this. As it stands, if I just have something here that logs some text, and this one logs text, and this one logs text. So ignore what we've done so far. Assume that just this state logs a little text out, this one logs text out, and the same thing here. That will all run within the single frame. However, if we have an action that we know is going to take place over multiple frames, then this particular state will be active over multiple frames. So I know if you're going to move an object, this move towards, I know if you're going to move an object towards another object and it's going to take several seconds to get there, this is going to happen over several, potentially many frames. You just know that's going to happen because you're taking longer than, you know, a 60th of a second. Waiting, for example, we know that this is taking 3 seconds. We know that's more than one frame. So we're going to spend more than one frame here. There are times when you need to basically wait for a particular frame before moving on. And in that case, you can actually, there is a next frame action. We don't have a use case here for it yet, so we're not going to use it quite yet. I just want to talk about really how the flow goes here. This is going to cross over multiple frames depending on what our action does. So move towards, and then we're going to keep on this state until we're done. Then we're going to come here, we're going to wait 3 seconds, and then we're going to go here. Now let's run this and see what happens. Now another thing I want you to notice is when we added our Playmaker component and we added FSM to selected objects, one other thing that it did was it added this component, this object, to a hierarchy called Playmaker GUI. That allows you, when you're debugging your game, to see what your currently active state is on your cube, on your player, or whatever your game object is that has it. So on this guy right here, when I click on play, we're going to see move to destination, wait, and move to destination 2 actually on that cube. So let's see what that looks like here. Okay, see, it says move to destination. And my camera is out of view here, so let me see if I can't quickly move this camera back. There we go. Now, everything ran pretty fast here, so you didn't quite see it. But notice, we're on move to destination 2. We've finished moving. Let's go ahead and look in our scene and see where we are at here. So we can see that our player is right here, right at destination 2, or a meter off from destination 2. There's our destination 1, and then we started right around here somewhere. So let's go ahead and watch that again. I'm going to click on the state, because you can see what's currently active here. You can set breakpoints on states too. I can come in here and toggle breakpoint. In other words, as soon as I get here, stop. Let's run this, click on play, and see what actually happens here. Go back to my scene tab here. Now notice, as soon as this guy gets over to destination, we're going to wait, and there we go. I've reached my destination. A breakpoint has been hit inside of Playmaker. So here's my breakpoint. If you have various values that you're using, you can actually inspect them. We're not using any values here. We're not using any variables, so there's nothing for us to inspect. But if we wanted to stop our game at this point in time, we can do that. We can continue. So we're running again here. And now I've moved to destination, and we can see our objects at destination. Perfect. So that worked all right for us. That was our base level rudimentary patrol. Now, you can do things in Playmaker, like we hard-coded our destination. We could choose, let's see, array get random. Select random game object. So what would we use select random game object for? Imagine that we had, let's just add this to look at this. So select random game object. We have 3 game objects, 1, 2, 3, and store it in this particular variable. All right, well, maybe we want to do this as a random way to navigate our scene. So let's go ahead and create another destination, Control D. We're going to call this destination 3. And what we're going to do is on our player, we're going to basically call this, you know what, we'll just call this patrol, because we're going to choose a random waypoint and then move to it and then choose another one and move to it, choose another one and move to it. So let's go ahead and do this. Patrol, I'm going to uncheck this current action. And for select random game object, let's choose our 3 game objects. The first one is our destination 1, the second one here is destination 2, and the third one is destination 3. Aha! When you choose a random game object, where's it going to store it? If we're a programmer, we just write code. Well, we need a variable here. And we can do that on our variables tab. On our variables tab, we can create a new variable. It's going to be of type game object because we are storing our random patrol point. It's a game object. All of our stuff in our scene it's a game object. Everything's a game object. So we're going to call this patrol point. So I have a variable called patrol point that's a game object. Now on our state here, let's go ahead and store that in. Notice our variable of type game object shows up here now. So this first one selects a random game object, it stores it in patrol point. Now I'm going to take this move towards action and move it down. We want our select random game object to actually happen first. Actually, the other way I can do is just click on select random game object here and drag it up. So that's going to run first on this state. We can have multiple actions on a state. So select one of three game objects and we can assign different weights to it. So if we want one to be chosen more over the other. So for example, if we want destination to be chosen 50% of the time, that's a 0.5 weight. This one is 0.25. And this one is 0.25. In other words, destination one is twice as likely as the others to be chosen as a random object. Let me save my changes so far, Control S. Now, who am I going to move towards? We're going to use the owner. What's our target object? Now, here's where we can use the variables. Previously, we chose destination. We want to move towards that variable that we stored, our patrol point. And so we click on equal here to go into variable selection mode. You know, right here, we're selecting a game object. We don't want that. In this case, we want the equal sign, which will allow us to choose a particular variable here. And if I drop this down, notice patrol point. So I'm going to choose patrol point. And that's it. There's our speed. There's our finished distance is 1. And we're going to call reached destination. So I'm going to delete my move to destination 2 because we don't need it anymore. And what I'm going to do here is we're going to select a random game object. Let's collapse that. Once we select a random game object, we store it in a variable. Then we start moving towards that variable, that game object. When we're done, we call reach destination, which brings us over to wait. We're going to hang out at that patrol point for, let me hit 5 seconds. Once 5 seconds is up, we're going to call this event done waiting. This transition here doesn't go anywhere yet, so let's go right back to patrol. Now, assume that maybe we chose the same place to go to that we're already at. It's possible. We can assign different weights, and there's different ways kind of around that. We're going to deal with the default behavior there, actually bring done waiting back here. So now we have this. I'm going to clear this breakpoint. We don't need that. So we should choose a point, and then we should go to it, and then we should wait 5 seconds more and go to it. We could do a little comparison to say, hey, if you've chosen the same patrol point twice, go ahead and try to re-choose another one again. We're gonna ignore that here. If you're curious how you would do that, if you look at under actions, you have various compare actions here. So there's game object compare. We could take the one that was stored before, and compare it against the new one that we're storing, and if they're the same, choose another one. There's a couple different ways that we could do that. So this is pretty basic. Let's see what happens here. Click on play. And I'm going to come back to my scene tab here so we can keep a better eye on this. So we're patrolling. It chose destination. Once it gets destination, let's see what happens. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And, oh no, we chose the same one again, and we're coming back. And now we're choosing the same one again and coming back. Okay, now we're choosing another one. So, in our case, we'll deal with that. It was hanging out really for 10 seconds at the destination. Maybe gives us a little bit extra randomness, that's fine. So now we went to destination 2, and we're going to wait for 5 more seconds. Now let's see what happens. We're going back to destination 1, right? Because that had a higher weight. And then once we get back there, so this is going to repeat. This is our entire basic AI here. This is our patrol behavior. Imagine if this is a walking zombie, right? Or a soldier goes between all these different points here. So the basic states are pretty easy to set up. Let's go ahead and add some basic enemy AI in here that if Let's say if it becomes close enough to a player, it's going to follow the player. If it hits a player, it will destroy the player. So we'll do that as the next step here. Our player's done. We can go ahead and create our enemy here. So let's close out that window, save our changes. We're going to create a sphere. Our sphere is our enemy. We're going to call it enemy. We're going to add playmaker to this object. So playmaker components, add FSM to selected objects. And let's save that. Now let's click on edit for our enemy. All right, so what are we going to do? We have a couple different things that really we can do. We can check for distance. So let's go ahead and check on our particular state here. Let's say check for distance. And there's an action browser that we can say distance, get distance. Now, who are we going to get distance to? We need the player. So let's drag and drop the player. Going to get our distance from this game object to the player, and we need to store it in a variable. A variable of a float type, we'll call it distance to player. Distance to player. So back in our state, we're going to store the result in distance to player. And we're going to do this every frame or not. Let's uncheck every frame, because I'll show you why in a moment. Now we're going to compare. This is a float compare. Why are we going to compare? We are going to say that if our distance to the player is between, let's say, if the distance to is less than distance to the player, greater than, or equal, let's actually reword this a little bit differently here. Let's take the first one. If the distance to the player is, our value, next value is going to be 2. So we're going to say if distance to player is less than 2, we're going to call some custom event here. We'll call it found player. So let's go back here. Let's implement that event by right-clicking, add transition, found player. And now we need to tell our float compare that if our distance to player is less than 2, call found player. And over here, let's have one that says follow player. Now, if it is not less than 2, so we don't need to do anything else. We can basically just let this finish processing down here and then reprocess again the next frame. So really, now, the way this stands right now, it's only going to run for one frame. The first frame our game runs is going to check the distance to the player, compare that if it's less than 2, and that's it. We're done. So that is why we need every frame here. So it can continue doing this every frame. Now we have two ways of doing it. We can check off every frame, or we can actually add a transition that we loop back to itself. Since there's every frame here, we're going to use that. Every frame, every frame. So every frame we're going to check. We're going to wait until we found the player, and then we're going to follow the player. So let's drag that over. Now, follow player is going to do exactly what we essentially had before. Move towards. And who are we going to move towards? Our player. And our speed, we'll do it fast. It's going to move towards a player at a distance of 10. And our finish distance, if it gets close enough to our player of a distance of 0.1, we'll create a new event called hit player. Now, I'm not integrating with the physics systems here. I'm keeping this very generic. We can actually have events in here that say when you have collided with another object or when you've come within range using what's called a trigger, we could implement those as well. I'm going to keep this pretty basic for this standpoint here. And just say if we are within 0.1 units, we basically say hit player. We need to add that transition to our FSM. And then if that's the case, if we've hit player, let's add a state here to destroy player. Destroy player. and we'll drag this down here. And destroy player, as you might imagine, if we just look for destroy in our browser, we see destroy, component, object, objects. We'd want to destroy object, so we'll double-click that. Who are we going to destroy? We're going to destroy the player. Do you want to wait? Is there any delay? Nope, we're going to do this right away. All right, so every frame, we're going to check for the distance. Now, as soon as we are no longer on the state, a very important point to remember, if we are no longer on the state, that logic is not going to run. So as soon as we are within 2 meters of our player, we come over here, this code is no longer running. That's the whole point of FSM, finite state machines. You are doing one thing at a time. These actions are no longer running. As soon as you transition away, that one is done, that code is no longer executing. And now we're executing this code. Okay, so if we found our player, we follow our player, and we keep following him until we essentially catch him. So let's see how this works. Take our enemy. Where's our enemy at? We want to essentially put our enemy near the player to see if this works. So I'm going to copy my player's location. I'm going to click on the little gear and say copy component. And on our enemy, I'm going to paste component values. And that's going to stick me right on top of the player. So I'm going to move this away a little bit. Move over here and move right maybe inside of that player's path. And now let's watch the enemy's actions here and let's see what happens. It happened just like that. It happened super fast. Let's make this a little bit better. And let's say that our, because it happened so fast, so let's change this a bit. Let's say check for distance, our distance to the player instead of 2 meters, we'll check for a distance of 10 meters. And let's slow this guy down a little bit, maybe only to 3 meters a second. And let's see what happens when we run. I'm going to click on my scene tab here, so I can look at this view a little bit better. Happened real fast again. So let's even slow down our enemy a little bit more. Let's say our enemy is only going to run at a distance of, if we follow our player, we're going to run at maybe one unit a second. Oops, I actually moved where my enemy, this is not where I want to go, I moved the wrong object here. I moved the target position, which is this guy here. Notice my target position, that's actually not what I want here. I'm going to clear that out. I don't want a target position, so I'm just going to choose none. Actually, I moved the wrong object. Instead of moving my sphere, I moved this target position, which Unity gives, or which Playmaker gives you as this little kind of like visible drag droppy thing here, which I don't want that. I'm going to actually choose none by selecting the variable mode here. So this should kind of work. This should get us following. All right, go to our scene tab. You can see now we are following that particular player. Let's click on our enemy object here again, and we can see that we are on the follow player action. Now let's see, within 5 seconds, do we choose another location to go to? So now notice, he's following our player wherever we go. Every frame we could check to see if the player is out of range again and stop following. We could easily add the logic to do that. We just simply get the distance and compare it again. We could do that on this action right here. And you can have multiple FSMs. Oh, there we go. I see the player's pretty fast, so I wasn't able to even get close enough there. We can add multiple FSMs to a particular game object. So we can have multiple like state trees that are working here as well. All right, so that's pretty cool, right? We have some basic, we did events, states, variables. Know that every action that you choose here, there's code behind the scenes. So if I said I want to see the code for get distance, I can just say edit script or select script, and that will show me in my project where it is. There's the code for that script. Of course, if I open it, it'll open on my system in Visual Studio. There's all the particular code for it, and so I can look through and I can kind of learn from it. I can say, all right, this is checking vector3.distance. This game object's transform position and is going to my target's transform position. So I can see exactly how this code works behind the scenes. It's a great learning tool as well. Now, there's a lot of other actions that you don't find in your project here. And so let's talk real quick about some of the other add-ons to the ecosystem. The Action Browser and other add-ons are available if you go to the Playmaker menu, Add-ons, Add-ons Online. Let's load that up, and notice there'll be a big list that shows up here for add-ons. There we go. Unity Action Pack. So all these other things that integrate with Unity, third-party tools. In this case, we want the Ecosystem Browser. The Ecosystem Browser gives you this interface here that allows you to search for other packages on the net. So let's go ahead and just download the package. All right, once it's downloaded, you click on it, and it will import into Unity. This one, just to save some time, I've just imported, so we'll actually see no content to import. But yours, it'll import, and it will work okay. The Ecosystem Browser can be found under the Playmaker, Add-ons, Ecosystem, Ecosystem Browser. First time you run it, you'll get a little disclaimer, and you click OK to. I'm going to search for, let's see, AI. I'm just curious. I've never searched for AI in here. Let's see what shows up under AI. So a couple things. You know what, let's try 2D, because the 2D options I don't have installed here. I don't have any of the 2D support. So let's find something here. All right, there's a script, targets tracking ortho camera. Let me preview that. I should open up the browser, and we get a preview of this component here, of this script. There we go. So if you want this particular script in your project, you say git, and it'll pull it down. Let's grab another one here. Inside Collider 2D Info, let me just say git. If it's something from an older version, now I'm running a newer beta version, so we'll see if this one causes an error or not. Notice it says Unity is compiling. So at the bottom, we'll wait and watch for any sort of red errors that might appear. If so, then we know that we've got something that's a little bit deprecated or an old version of code we might have to update, or contact a publisher. Again, this pulls in code from various sources out there. This is not all published by the people over that create Playmaker. Some of this is various other places on the net. So that was inside Collider 2D Info. All right, let's go ahead and see if we can use that or look at it. I'm going to open up one of my actions here and just go to the Action Browser and type inside. There we go, inside Collider 2D Info. Sends an event if you are inside or outside a 2D collider. Perfect. So if two objects are close to each other, they're inside, this will send the event for that. That's pretty cool. So use the Playmaker Ecosystem Browser, find kind of the missing components you might not have. Also remember that through Playmaker add-ons, if you go to Add-ons Online, you'll be brought to locations on their website where you can find all the different third-party integration. All right, so there's a lot that you can learn with Playmaker. It's a great prototyping, great actual full programming tool. One thing that we didn't cover was actually calling custom code in here. You can create your own custom actions. This is all C# behind the scenes. As we saw earlier on, when you looked at really any of these options, you can say edit script. It's all code, and there's plenty of tutorials out there on how to actually create custom code in here, create your own custom actions. From your own C# code, you can actually raise events and call into all of these different FSMs inside of Playmaker as well. So this is fully interoperable with your code. It's not one or the other. The two work together very happily. So hope you like this. Check out some more content on our Game Dev Show. I'm going to have future tutorials on Adam's Garage, which is also on Channel 9. Thank you very much for tuning in, and you can always let me know if you have any questions, adamt@microsoft.com. Find me on Twitter @AdamTuliper and my blog, adamtuliper.com, and we'll see you soon. Thank you.